The watchword for this week comes from Psalm 139, verse 17, and it reads, "How weighty to me are your thoughts on these words as we listen to this morning's prelude." Friends, as part of a new year that always brings the beginnings of new things, we are beginning a new tradition in our worship order. If you flip in the middle of your bulletin, you'll see a call to worship printed there. So to begin our service today, I'll ask that if you're able, please stand and let's pray that call to worship to get us started today. The one who calls you together this day yearns for each of you and for all people to hear and be blessed. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Blessed is the one who comes bringing trustworthy words for the healing of the world. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. You invite us, O God, to live in your ways, and you give us to each other to know and to love. Show us your will for all creation. Help us to listen to you with prayerful hearts so that we may honor what you have made. In the name of the Holy Trinity, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let's remain standing as we sing our opening hymn today, number 313, Songs of Thankfulness and Praise. Amen. Please be seated. Now will all the young and the young at heart come forward as Brother Matt Pace gives our children's message for today.
Good morning, children.
Good morning, Mr. Matt.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. How we doing?
Good.
Good, good. We have a good week?
Yes.
Good, good. So today we're going to talk about a calling from God. Has to do with the Samuel scriptures. And, excuse me. Getting a call. Ignore that. Calling from God. You think it was God? Maybe. You're right. So have you guys had a good week? Yeah. It's cold. Goodness gracious, my phone. Sorry. So it was kind of windy yesterday, right? Excuse me, y'all. This one's important. Let me grab this. Hello. Why, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, your servant is listening. Sure I will. I love you too. Bye. You were right. It was a call from God. Imagine that. So God had a mission for me. He wanted me to hurry up and finish this children's message, so I'll get to the point. Sometimes God calls us on our telephone. Sometimes God calls through friends. Sometimes when God calls us, people wished we had turned our ringer off. That also happens. But what is important is three things. Number one, God calls each and every one of us. He calls us because, number two, he's counting on you to do something. And number three, because he loves you and he believes in you. So when God calls, no matter what he asks of you, be fearless and say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for your calling. We thank you for choosing us. Help us to be ready when you call and help us to serve. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you for that children's message today. Thank you to the voice of God from on high up there. So friends, welcome again to worship this morning at Christ Moravian Church. And as we're still in this season of Epiphany, we still continue to celebrate the revelation of God among us through Jesus Christ and also through other parts of God's story as revealed to us in Scripture, just like the call from God that Brother Matt just taught us about and that we'll hear more about later in the book of 1 Samuel. But before we get there, I have some announcements to share with you. The watchwords for 2024 are still out in the wooden bowl on the front table, so if you haven't yet gotten a chance to get one and would like to, you're more than welcome after the service to prayerfully pick out a watchword for the year. And there's an insert in your bulletin with an update from the Board of World Mission, so I invite you to check that out when you get a chance. The time slot for the Unity Prayer Watch that was selected for Christ Moravian Church is this evening, beginning at 4 o'clock. So if you'd like to participate, there's still time today to pick up the packet of prayer topics that you can take home with you and use in your time of prayer for the worldwide church. Now, tomorrow we have a federal holiday, and so both the church office and the offices of the Southern Province will be closed tomorrow. Everything will be back open for business on Tuesday. This coming Saturday on the 20th, the leadership board will meet for a planning meeting in the office building. We'll gather at 9 o'clock a.m. If you're attending that meeting, please bring a snack or a light refreshment of some kind. Now, the following day, Sunday, January 21st, Women's Fellowship will have a general meeting after worship in the fellowship building, and lunch will be served. Now, 2 weeks from today, January the 28th, we're going to have our first youth lunch of the year. We'll meet in the fellowship building after worship, and the menu for that day will be soup and salad. So not only is everyone invited to attend lunch, everyone's invited to bring a soup. If you've got a special soup in your back pocket, you are invited to bring it to the lunch. Now, there'll be no cost to the meal, but a love offering will be collected for the Samaritan Ministries Super Bowl of Caring event. Just a heads up, and I'll follow up on this announcement in the coming weeks, but a group from Christ Moravian will be attending the Winter Jam concert at Greensboro Coliseum on February 24th. There's more information in your bulletin, and you could also contact Sabrina or Matt if you're interested in going or if you'd like to invite someone to go. Thanks to everyone who was able to attend Brother Enty's memorial service yesterday. It was well attended and was a very moving and cathartic experience for all those who knew and loved Enty. Please continue to keep Bobby, Tripp, Meredith, all of Enty's loved ones and all who loved Enty in your prayers during this time. And I'll close today's announcements with a couple of news updates. First, some sad news from the Northern Province. Bishop Hopeton Clennon entered into the more immediate presence of his Lord and Savior last Sunday. Brother Hopeton was a consecrated bishop of the Northern Province of the Moravian Church, and he was serving as the pastor of Central Moravian Church in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, when he passed. Now, I never got the chance to meet Hopeton personally, but upon his passing, there was much, much sadness and expressions of grief poured out by many in both northern and southern provinces and around the world, including from many of my colleagues. Just a lot of testimony about what an incredible person Hopeton was and what an incredible servant of God he was. So please be in prayer for the loved ones, Bishop Hopeton Clennon, and be in prayer for Central Moravian Church, and just be in prayer for all who are currently processing and grieving his passing. The last announcement is a bit of good news. Many of us got word recently that Brother Sam Dixon had his heart surgery and is resting at home up in Maryland under the watchful eye of his family. So he's in good hands. Surgery went well, and he's resting and trying to get back on his feet. So praise God for that good bit of health for Sam, and let's continue to pray for him as he recovers. Now, friends, for our responsive reading today, I'm going to invite us to pray for the intercessions in a time of crisis. And I prayerfully picked that one this week because there's still a lot of grief and heaviness in this place and elsewhere for N.T. Russell, and with Bishop Hopeton Clennon also passing this week. Many in the worldwide Moravian Church are grieving. Then we also bring with us our own griefs, our own internal strife, whether the year has gotten off to the wrong foot and it's not quite started off the way we wanted, whether we're carrying things with us from 2023. This morning, I'd like for us to lay all these troubles at the feet of the Lord together through prayer. So I invite you, let's stand together, let's turn to page 117 in the Moravian hymnal, and let's pray the intercession to the Lord this morning. God of mercy, God of comfort, we come before you in this time of difficulty, mindful of human frailty and need, and confused and struggling to find meaning in the face of suffering. We are grateful that even as we share in the joy of Christ Jesus, we can also share abundantly in comfort in the midst of suffering. For victims of fire or flood, storm or earthquake, famine or disease, for those whom disaster has left homeless, injured, or bereaved, for refugees and those separated from loved ones, for the family, friends, and all those who knew Brother N.T. Russell, and the family, friends, and all those who knew Bishop Hopeton Clennon, for all who are in danger, trouble, or anguish, we ask the presence and strength of your Spirit. Give all who suffer the love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. We know that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because your love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Be the support of all who give their strength, their skill, and their stamina in a ministry of mercy. Open our hearts in generosity that we may be partners in their commitment to bring relief. Where tempers flare and a partisan spirit provokes new hostility, raise up people who have patience and restraint. Where indifference allows crisis to deepen and suffering to go without relief, awaken deliverers who have zeal and strength. We pray for those who are engaged in making important decisions in this time, for those who report on these events, and for those who shape public opinion. Give them the courage to speak out and the restraint to listen, that together we may discern the truth and hold aloft its light. Take away the temptation to trust in human power and military solutions, and give us the courage to be your servants to the community of nations. Direct all governments in the way of peace and justice, that your will may be known and done among the nations. Deliver us from the sins which lead to war and conflict, and strengthen within us the will to establish righteousness and justice on the earth. We pray for those who are suffering and can make no sense of tragedy. Help them to turn to the one who embraces us in our lives, even Jesus Christ, who lived and suffered among us. There is no one who is righteous, not even one, for we have all turned away from you. Make us aware of our common need of a Savior, and remove from our hearts the pride, ambition, and greed that would lead us to enslave and demean other people. Have mercy on your whole creation. Hasten the day when the kingdom of the world shall become your kingdom, and by grace make us worthy to stand before you. Amen. You may be seated. Friends, our first scripture lesson for today will come from Psalm chapter 139. Will be in verses 1 through 12. If you'd like to read along, the words can be found printed in the middle of your bulletin. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and night wraps itself around me, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. May God bless the reading and hearing of God's holy word this day. Now, friends, will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we welcome your presence among us now. God, by your Holy Spirit, open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts, and open our minds to your word, so that your word comes to dwell within us for the sake of Jesus Christ. We give you thanks for the air we breathe, for the life flowing in our veins, for the loved ones that support and uphold us. God, let us use our lives for your dedication and service, and let us never fail to seek you in all that we do. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Will the ushers please come forward?
Thank you.
Friends, our second scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of John. We'll be in verses 43 through 51. Now the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Now Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And Jesus said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." May God bless the reading and hearing of God's holy word this day. Now, friends, our second hymn is number 787 in your hymnal, "He Leadeth Me." If you're able, please stand. We'll sing that one together.
Where
Amen. Please be seated. Our sermon lesson for today continues the theme of God's call, God leading us. It can be found in 1 Samuel chapter 3. It will be in the first 10 verses. 1 Samuel 3. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am." And ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So Samuel went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. My son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if the Lord calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." May God bless the reading and hearing of God's holy word this day. My friends, the story this week starts off on a difficult note. In this particular point in the history of the people of God, they're feeling disconnected from God. God felt far away from them. It felt like God wasn't speaking to them. It felt like God wasn't listening to them. It felt like God wasn't present with them. Now, in those days, one of the main ways that they experienced God and communicated with God was by prophecy. We read in verse 1 that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. That's one way of saying that there was not a lot of God's prophecy being told, experienced, communicated to the people. Now, that's a very troubling reality to have to live and deal with. And I say the word reality because whether or not God was actually far away or close by, it still felt very real to them that God was not there. And that's something that we can relate to them about. When we feel as if God is close by, when we feel cut off from God, it can be very scary. It can be lonely. It can feel real, no matter how many times we might hear that God is always with us. Now, in this particular case, in today's story, the people of God felt cut off from God because of corrupt leadership in their midst. The nature of their relationship with God relied heavily on the conduct of the priests in the temple. These priests received the offerings they made to God, and they gave to God God's portion, and they cared for the temple and holy places where the Spirit of God resided always. So if the priests didn't conduct themselves as they should, it could affect the relationship between God and God's people. Things would not be right in that relationship. And that's exactly what's happening in today's story. The head priest was a man named Eli, and he had two sons who were also priests. If we read later in 1 Samuel, we find out their names are Hophni and Phinehas. Now, these two were not behaving appropriately. They were the corrupt leadership that the people had to deal with. Specifically, if we go back to the second chapter of 1 Samuel, we read that they're taking from the offerings allotted to God and they're keeping it for themselves. That's a big, big no-no. Not only were they doing this, they were doing it brazenly in full sight of the people. They weren't trying to hide it like they were ashamed of it. They openly were taking more for themselves than what they were supposed to. And on top of that, when people who wanted to do right by God came to the temple with their offerings and called out the priests for the bad behavior, they got threats in response. People would go to the temple and bring their offerings with them, and the priests and their servants would literally say, "You give me all that I want, or I will take it from you by force." This was what the people of God had to deal with in those days. This was the state of the relationship between the people and God when Samuel first heard God's call. Friends, pondering on that part of the story leads me to wonder, what can lead us to feel cut off from God in our lives? Maybe it's our own feelings about the state of the world. We read about something that troubles us or upsets us. We see something on TV or on the internet that's bothersome, and that to us seems like it's not the way the world should be. Maybe it's a personal tragedy that we have to deal with, sudden grief at the passing of a loved one, sudden anger at something that's happened unexpectedly. Maybe it's when the personal relationships in our lives start to break down, or there are bumps in the road and arguments and conflicts and things that get in the way of us enjoying the time with the people we love. Maybe there's other unexpected challenges or difficulties that pop up at the beginning of a new year. Maybe it's changes in the church that are troubling to us, changes in this church, changes in the Moravian church as a whole. Maybe it's health problems. I can remember years and years ago when I was first diagnosed with ADHD and how hard it was for me to adjust and cope to my new reality at the time. I remember feeling so far apart and cut off from God that I would pray to God and just ask, "Can I hear you today? Can I feel you today?" Because that unexpected health challenge led me to be isolated, or at least feel like I was isolated from God. All of these reasons, and maybe some more that I didn't name, could be reasons why we might not feel close to God at any given time. Now, feeling isolated from anything or anyone isn't always easy to deal with. You know, God created us to be in community with each other. We're not meant to be on an island alone. And so feeling isolated from anything is tough, but especially feeling isolated from the God who creates us, loves us, and sustains us is very challenging. But folks, don't be discouraged, because this is only the beginning of today's story. In verse 3 of 1 Samuel chapter 3, we read, "The lamp of God in the temple had not yet gone out." Now, this lamp was kept lit in between sunset and sunrise in the temple of God, so we can sort of tell that it's nighttime when our story begins. It's dark outside, and it's dark in metaphor as well. It's dark. Things seem bleak in the lives of the people of God, but the lamp of God being lit promises that the sun will rise soon and that a new dawn is coming. And not just the dawn that fills the skies with color and beauty in the morning at the rising of the sun, but a dawn is promised of a new age, the dawn that will come of prophets, kings, renewed hope for the future God will provide, and a change and restoration of the relationship between God and God's people. Think for a moment of the great prophets of the Old Testament. Think about Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all those books of the Old Testament that contain prophecy from people called by God. That age of prophecy begins here in this story with a young boy running around the temple at night in his pajamas. When I read this story, I was pondering on it for today's message, and I kept reading Samuel running back and forth between his bed and Eli and his bed and Eli, and I was struck by an image of when my son comes to ask me for a glass of water in the middle of the night. Or when my daughter comes to me and says, "Daddy, I'm scared of the dark." Like, "Okay, baby, go back to sleep." 5 minutes later, "Daddy, I'm scared of the dark." Okay, baby, I'm sorry, go back to sleep. "Daddy, I'm scared of the dark." "Okay, fine, you can come sleep in the same room with me." I humorously thought of that because that's kind of what's happening here. Samuel is a young boy getting up in the middle of the night to go to his father figure, being like, "Somebody called to me in the middle of the night." "Okay, Samuel, wasn't me, go back to bed." 5 minutes later, "Eli, somebody called to me in the middle of the night. I might be having a nightmare. Somebody's here. What's going on?" "It wasn't me, Samuel. Go back to bed." "Eli, somebody's calling me. Is it you? Is it you, Eli?" "No, it's not me, Samuel. Go back to bed." This is a very powerful and meaningful story, but at its core, a young boy in his pajamas is running to his father figure, complaining of hearing voices in the dark. Father figure saying, "Go back to bed. Everything is okay." Now, let's not get the impression that Samuel was a goof. He wasn't a knucklehead. Now, he was a kid, sure, but he wasn't immature from what we can tell. And actually, the opposite is true. Samuel had a good reputation in the temple as a trainee and as a servant. Earlier on in 1 Samuel from today's text, we read that he was growing in wisdom and stature among the people. And the phrasing in Scripture even reminds us of what we would read in the Gospels about a young boy named Jesus who also grew in wisdom and stature among the people. Samuel had a good head on his shoulder. Samuel was smart. Samuel was capable. Samuel was a hard worker. It's not a coincidence that we read that he slept next to the lamp of God in the temple. This boy, Samuel, was the one in whom the Lord found favor. This one was the one who represented the promise that God's presence hadn't left the people. He's sleeping next to the lit lamp of God as a sign that it's through the calling of this boy that the presence of God is still burning for the people and hasn't left them at all. And so in verse 4, Samuel first hears the voice of God calling out to him. He thinks it's Eli. He runs to him and says, "I heard you calling, Eli. I heard you calling me." You know what's striking about that to me? Even though Samuel doesn't at first think that it's God who is calling him, he is still ready to serve and listen. It didn't matter whether it was Eli or whoever it ended up being. Samuel responds, "I'm here. I heard you calling me." The nature of the call is unclear. Samuel doesn't know why he's being called, but he's ready to figure it out, and he's ready to do what he can. And I think that's something that we can learn from Samuel in that regard. We never feel like we have all the details of our own lives and our own responsibilities figured out. Whenever we think we have something figured out or everything figured out, something else pops up, or another question is raised that we can't answer. But through it all, we can still demonstrate the heart of a servant just like Samuel as best that we can. And along the way, we can be patient too. It's easy to get frustrated, right? But Eli had to be patient with Samuel. God had to be patient with Samuel. And so we too can practice patience with others and with ourselves. Now remember, like I said earlier, Samuel isn't a goof, but he is inexperienced. He's mature, he's smart, he's thoughtful, he's hardworking, but as far as we know from Scripture, this is the first time that Samuel's heard God calling to him. This is a learning moment for Samuel. It's made all the more impactful because of how his teachers and elders are patient with him. And so, friends, we too can be patient with ourselves and others as we figure out and discern exactly what God is trying to say to us, trying to discern the nature of our divine call. Now, the path before us may not always be clear. The way forward may be hard for us to perceive. Sometimes things take time. Sometimes they take patience. Things end up needing the support of others, like when Eli calls Samuel his son, reassures him in a fatherly way that, "No, my son, I didn't call for you. Now go back and get some rest." Now, if you read elsewhere in Scripture about the priest named Eli, you'll find he wasn't always on his best behavior. Eli wasn't always patient with others. Eli wasn't always acting in a priestly way. He didn't act in a way that was befitting of the office to which he was called. But when it mattered, he was patient with a little boy named Samuel. And that patience made a difference that lasted generations for the people of God. So, beloved, when the future seems unclear, be ready to serve. Have patience for yourselves and have compassion for yourselves and other people. Now, ultimately, Eli's patience with Samuel bears fruit. He finally realizes what is happening. It hits him finally. After the third time, God is calling out to Samuel. And Samuel goes back to bed and responds, "Speak, your servant is listening." Now, we end today not really knowing what God says to Samuel. If we were to read ahead in verse 11, we would find out. But today's text, verses 1 through 10, it ends with Samuel responding, "I'm ready, Lord, speak." And then it ends. So we don't know what God says to Samuel, but we know that God is ready to follow. We know that Samuel is ready to follow God's call wherever it leads him. So likewise, friends, it's hard for us to confront the unknown. It's hard for us to process tragedy and hardship. This year has just begun, 2024, but it already seems like it's brought unexpected challenges to many of us individually and to this congregation. So while it can be easy to feel discouraged, and while we serve a loving God who doesn't hold it against us when we do, let's try to listen for that call from God, just like Samuel. Let's listen out for God calling us to serve. Let's discern together what exactly God has in store for us in 2024 and beyond. And let's respond with willing hearts, servants' hearts, ready to follow God into whatever God has planned for us. Friends, I know that I can do it if we all pledge to do it together. Today we give God thanks for the trust and patience that God has for us in abundant measure. And we thank God for believing in us enough to call us to serve. Amen. Friends, let's close today's service by singing out our willingness to respond to the call of God together. The hymn is 641, "I, the Lord of Sea and Sky." If you're able, please stand and we'll sing that one together. Thank you. Beloved, as you go about a new week in this beginning of 2024, I pray that you have the courage and have the patience and have the compassion to say to God, "Here I am, Lord." Friends, may God bless you and keep you. May God, may God's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God lift up God's countenance before you and grant you peace in the name of Jesus. Amen. Go in peace today.